Now let me move on into another area altogether. It's not maybe controversial in the way, and yet today it's one of the most misunderstood portions of the Word of God, and that's the experience of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I need to remind myself, as we come to the Garden of Gethsemane, that the place on which we're standing is holy ground here in this gospel. I need to remove my spiritual shoes as I stand on this sacred spot, and remove my spiritual hat as I gaze in rapture upon Him. Now, when I hear today people singing glibly, "I'll go with Him through the garden," I just want to say to you, I can't sing anything or any way, but I wouldn't sing that. I couldn't sing that. I can't go with Him through the garden. The best I can do is just stand on the outside and listen to the drops of blood as they fall from Him and hear His cry, and somehow or another try to enter into the meaning, and I'm confident I can't enter into the meaning. I'm sorry that I can't take you all the way into the garden today. Maybe someone else can, but I cannot. I wonder today, these folks who are singing, "I'll go with them through the garden," I wonder if they know what they're saying. I feel confident that they do not know the meaning of the Garden of Gethsemane, or many of these sincere people wouldn't sing that. It's a form of blasphemy for a person to say or sing, "I'll go with him through the garden," and then make excuses when difficulties arise and they drop out of church and stay away from service at the drop of the hat or a drop of rain. It doesn't take much. I can never sing that song. "We shall go to the garden, but shall not enter. The Lord left His disciples outside. I'll stay out there with them and peer over the wall into the darkness and listen to the travail of His soul. Then if our hearts are sensible, then we shall thank God for the one who pressed the cup of our sorrow and our suffering to His lips and drank to the very dregs. We'll not be able to penetrate the darkness of that garden, nor understand the full significance of all that took place. You remember yonder in the upper room, He passed the cup and said, 'Take that cup.' When I partake of the Lord's Supper, I always taste that cup. And everywhere I've ever tasted, it's been a sweet cup. He bore the bitter cup that I might have a sweet cup." Now, there's a mystery and a depth in that garden. There's not ambiguity or obscurity, but there's a mystery. And we'll do well just to worship as we behold Him yonder and catch the note of His voice. You see, now we see through a glass darkly. It was Gregory Nazianzen who years ago wrote, "I love God because I know Him. I adore Him because I cannot comprehend Him. And so I worship at the Garden of Gethsemane, and I don't try to have all the answers." Let me read now these first two verses. "And He came out and went, as He was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, 'Pray that ye enter not into temptation.'" Now, there are two expressions here that are quite interesting. The first one is, "as He was wont," and then, "at the place." Now, apparently, He didn't stay in the city at night. We've already seen that in the so-called triumphal entry. And the city had rejected Him, and He rejected the city. He spent every night that last week in the Garden of Gethsemane, or went on into Bethany, I do not know which. Now, we find here that after the Lord's Supper, why, He went out to the garden. And that last night, an unfamiliar transaction took place in the garden. I'm not sure I know all of it, but He wrestled with an unseen foe. That's obvious. He overcame the enemy there. He gained the victory. and the victory of Calvary was won in Gethsemane. You see, at the beginning of the ministry of our Lord, Satan came and tempted him and offered him at that time the kingdoms of the world. He'd have to miss the cross, of course. And then we're told, Dr. Luke told us, that Satan left him for a season. Now, when did he come back? I presume many times, and at the end of his ministry. It was the temptation of Satan at the beginning of his ministry that he avoided the cross, and now it's the temptation of Satan again. And then you'll recall that during his ministry, Peter said to him, when he mentioned the cross, "Far be it from thee, Lord," and our Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Satan's theology, friend, has no place for the cross of Christ. And it was Satan who came again. Now, will you notice what he said here? "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." Now, I just pick up a few of the fragments here. What was the temptation? Who was going to tempt him? Well, Satan was going to be there, I believe.